All right. Good, excuse me, good evening, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 12th, 2010, Carrboro Board of Aldermen work session. we don't normally have a consent agenda on our work session agendas, but we've been on a long break, and there are a couple of items we need to take care of. Mr. Manager.
Okay.
He lost his marshmallow.
Okay. Try again. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting of December the 8th. Item 2 is a request to approve a supplemental agreement with the North Carolina Department of Transportation for the transfer of funds between transportation projects supported by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Item 3 is award of bid for the bus shelters installation project. Item 4 is endorsement of Fit Community designation application. Item 5 is an amendment to miscellaneous fees and charges scheduled to add a charge for computer database reports, and that's the consent agenda.
I have a comment, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll second the motion. Yeah, I just wanted to comment and say that with regard to particularly the shelters, wanted to really thank staff for obviously some extra work that was done in December to get the after the 1 month extension to be able to get the specs reworked and get the contractors informed and get it back out and get it in. Really do appreciate that.
All right. It's been moved and seconded.
Actually, I had a question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
As the mover, is just for number 5. Is that just a typical charge for the index of computer databases, sort of, that occurs?
I'm not sure. Typical. I mean, it's what Andy has calculated is our cost to provide those reports.
Oh, okay. Is it cheaper if you get it digital as opposed to paper?
Probably would be. Yeah.
I'll say this. I happen to know it's pretty much in line with what the county charges,
right,
for example.
Okay.
It's if you got all this,
it's
quite a few pages, so probably digital would be cheaper.
Oh, okay, that's all.
Oh, yeah, I had a question. So is that for when people come, they can get these documents and they pay these fees, or?
It'll be very unusual for an individual to make a request like this. It's like 15 different databases and. It's not the kind of thing an average citizen would have any need for.
Yeah.
Most of the requests we have from citizens would be, I'd like a copy of the minutes from such and such meeting, or I'd like to see XYZ document.
Those things are generally, there's not a charge for those things.
If we have to make a copy, yeah, it's 10 cents a page.
Right.
Normally.
Which is reasonable.
But, oh, yeah, no, it's...
And most people don't make those requests anymore because so much of the items are on our website.
No, the cost is really reasonable. I thought it was kind of low, but you know.
This permit, last time I looked at the county's policy, it was reasonable.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Mark?
Yes?
Before we go on, should we clarify that we're going to talk about the Owosso thing next Tuesday? If that suits everyone, and then William can go home tonight.
The Owosso board is scheduled to take action when?
On the 28th.
On the 28th. So we don't. This is today. Tonight is not the last opportunity to have a discussion on it. So I think I'll entertain that as a motion that we put it on our agenda for next Tuesday night have a discussion of the Owosso water purchase.
Right.
Conservation. What is it? It's a water supply plan. Exactly. Thank you. All right. And
with the invitation to both our Owosso reps to be here.
Right. That would be great. We invite you two to join us. Yes.
Thanks.
All right.
You're
great.
On.
Thank you. All right. It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. The matter passed unanimously. We'll take that up next week. item B1, Mr. Manager.
Sure. This is a sidewalk program update, and the purpose of this item is to provide additional information about the sidewalk program as requested by the board at your November 10th, 2009 meeting. And I think George Size and then Jeff Brubaker also has a part of the presentation. So, George.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. If I can quickly add about the bus shelters, that Ted Barker in our office was the person who was instrumental in getting that put together. And now that I said his full name at the meeting, he needs to buy donuts tomorrow also.
Hey, Mark.
Somebody send him a text message. Yes.
Doesn't have anything to do with it, but since George is here, I'd like to thank you and your staff for the work you've been doing on the parking lot on Carr and Greensboro.
David Poitras.
Thank you, David. Thank you,
gonna
David.
He's going to buy next week. Thank you very much. Yeah, we are finally, after the holidays here, getting some free time, some free staff time. And what you've noticed is the clearing, and we've created a temporary parking area so that the lot can indeed be used. So
and it looks as like as soon as you clear something off, somebody pulls in and parks.
That happens. So you'll see the cones out there and so forth. But yeah, thank you for recognizing that. As Steve indicated, the purpose of this item is to provide additional information as requested by the Board of Aldermen at their November 10th meeting. Trish McGuire gave the presentation on November 10th, and it included updated cost estimates, funding sources, and identified remaining Phase 1 sidewalk projects, as well as the Wilson Park multi-use path, Rogers Road sidewalk, Smith Level Road sidewalk, and there was also discussion about greenways. I believe at the last presentation, Trish showed a slide that was a map of the various completed projects, but I thought I'd just quickly brief history here, show you the lengths and the dates of completion. And this is roughly 17 projects over six contracts, totaling about $2 million worth of just construction, from beginning with Quail Roost and Lisa back in May of 2006 and into James Street, which is the most recent project that was finished in March of 2009. And remind everybody that BIM and ASH, which we have awarded a contract for, construction will start February 15th. And we'll be coming back probably in a couple of weeks with the municipal agreement for Elm Street, which is the project that we got the Safe Routes to School funding for.
I think Carver Elementary School parents have noted that one of them began about a week ago.
I think we were doing utility work, relocation work, yes.
As recently as today.
This should look somewhat familiar. This was the slide or a variation of it that Trish had showed last week. And I think the most important thing here to note is that project costs exceed available funding. And let me try to quickly show where we're at here and get the, of course, here are the projects. Whoops, excuse me, going along here. Some of the shaded areas, if you can see the coloring of the types of funding. And then the projects in the columns, and then over here we have the total project cost and the shadowed line, and then grant funds from other sources, and then bond funds, additional capital reserve that was added in, interest earning, and then total revenue. And I think what's important to note is that as the last time, is that the staff had recommended that Estes not be funded in light of the fact that the future TIP road project would include some bike lanes and sidewalk and necessitate some of the removal of those items at a later date. And that was the project then that was shown that does not have total funding. And then this is the amount that was available after all the other funding was distributed. And then the unavailable local dollars is noted down here at the bottom. So basically short $453,800. There are some changes from the last time, and I want to point out regret that I had made an error. Actually, it was an error in terms of
to a lower number for Estes. This number here is now the construction cost for the entire length of the project from North Greensboro all the way down to the railroad tracks. This number, the 688, was the last time was actually $1,200,000. So in spite of that change, however, though, we are still, the various projects still exceed bond funding by the $483,800, as I noted here at the bottom. One other thing that was changed this time, too, is we recognized on Elm Street that we were going to need to use, because it was federal funding, and would change our approach on the right-of-way and easements. And this number here was $6,000, and it's now estimated to be $16,000. The grant is only $300,000 and did not include the purchase of right-of-way, so we have the potential for that here. Any questions about the slide there in terms of I want to make the point about the unavailable funding, but there is this $234,200 that if Estes is not built, that could be available then for some other projects. At the last meeting, or at the meeting in November, the board asked for two things: the cost estimate to build a reduced version of the sidewalk on Estes Drive, and you see the number there. And the second item, which Jeff Rubaker, our transportation planner, will talk about shortly, was the feasibility of formalizing a bike-ped connection from the end of Pleasant to the Estes Park Apartments. And staff should also check the feasibility of other options. Going back to the, you see the cost estimate here for the reduced version of Estes. And just for sake, if you would put that number in here, the 395, this number here reduces, but we are still short about $161,000. And just briefly, before Jeff comes up, I wanted to show some of the challenges here on Estes, and this is starting up at North Greensboro. And as I noted in the report, the right-of-way, existing right-of-way line on some of these first projects, as you're headed to the east or northeast, is roughly 3 to 5 feet from the edge of the existing pavement. So in order to put in, the fence here is probably close to 7 or 8 feet from the edge of pavement. So if you try to envision adding some curb and gutter, which is 2.5 feet, and then we're proposing no buffer, a 5-foot sidewalk, we easily get into the trees. And again, the right-of-way is in front of the mailbox. And then traveling further down, this is in front of an apartment complex. There's roughly 10 to 12, maybe a few more trees that would be impacted, and several removals. And continuing down. And then this, let me back up here. Just this point here is Hillcrest. So if we would do the reduced version, we would be building to this point here. And unfortunately, the right-of-way that is needed is in mostly in this area. As you go further down, the right-of-way was purchased years ago and is behind. But you also see the challenge. What has changed here is when we first started looking at this project, the shoulder was not, although the shoulder is certainly a blessing that the DOT put in. That also means now that the curb and gutter and sidewalk would be back, and we would have to do some filling in order to build the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of challenges there.
You would build some kind of like cinder block wall or something like split face wall on the outside?
That was not. Well, that's one alternative. That's probably more expensive since we have the right of way and we don't have to truncate it, which we typically would, as an example on where we were saving some of the trees and some of the right-of-way on James Street,
yeah,
on the back.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Another example there. Probably since along this section, I believe we do have enough right-of-way that it would involve clearing the brush and then basically moving the shoulder out roughly 5 feet from where you see it there.
And making everything slope more gently off of there.
Well, it would if we could, yes. It has to be stable, so you're probably looking at least a 2 to 1 or 2.5 to 1 slope, which is kind of what's there already, so mm-hmm. something similar to that.
Right.
But if you can imagine 5 to 7 feet further away from the road.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of material. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of engineering.
Any questions before Jeff comes up and talks about the other alternative paths?
What would be the point of building simply to Hillcrest? Who would be served by that?
Who wants to answer?
That was my idea.
No, okay.
The reason I asked the question is because, for example, the for Estes Park, there is a connection to Pleasant Drive. It's informal right now. It could be formalized. We're about to talk about that. But formalizing that path wouldn't really serve. My thought was that wouldn't really serve people who live on Hillcrest or between Hillcrest and anybody who lives like right on Estes Drive there. Having a pedestrian connection for Estes Park Apartments doesn't necessarily do them any good. But as I think we're just about to see, the staff had some other thoughts about the Hillcrest, connecting okay. Hillcrest, not coming. So I just haven't really considered the option that they.
Jeff, is there, one last question. Is there any further estimate on how much time it will take for the DOT to take this project on Estes?
The TIP project, I'm not sure Trish or Jeff maybe can address if they know any more about the ranking and the timing of that.
I think it's ranked 12, but I don't know what that means time-wise.
Not much.
I'm not aware of any definite timeline.
So not breaking ground this summer.
Yeah. Think about it, the next time you have to run for re-election.
And it won't be by then.
You better come up with an excuse between now
That's
and then.
That's right.
It's not
going to
be. All right. Sorry.
Certainly one thing that may influence the TIP project is as Carolina North plan right. gets going forward, there may be more impetus to look at those improvements on Estes Drive.
But they're slowed down also.
Yes, that's true.
They have no money.
Can you even see the pay for it?
They don't have any money.
I know, that's good. Unless they want to.
So as George suggested, this is just going to be a brief look at some other pedestrian and bicycle alternatives from Estes Drive vicinity to Greensboro Street. They primarily deal with areas that are already cleared but not formalized, and alternatives would improve these routes, and in all cases need to work, of course, with property owners and nearby residents to determine the best alternative. Here's an overview of the four alternatives. Obviously, you're quite familiar with the Wilson multi-use path and the Pleasant Drive path there towards the right. And we also looked at two other alternatives. A connection from the end of Hillcrest down to Estes Park Apartments parking lot, and a connection from Estes Park Apartments parking lot to Crest Street. I'm not going to go into too much detail about the Wilson multi-use path because it's been discussed at recent meetings, but the cost estimates, we're looking at $266,000 to $288,000 range. Obviously, that depends somewhat on the amenities that are put in on the path and other factors. And there's the map that we saw earlier. Some issues with the Wilson multi-use path that we didn't discuss in as much detail at the December presentation of the Bowling Creek Greenway master plan was that after it's built, there's going to be a need for a safe transition for bicyclists and pedestrians, bicyclists from the path to the wide shoulders on Estes Drive. So that's a consideration that we'll have to take into account. And we'll also need to work with NCDOT on the design and an encroachment agreement in their right-of-way once the segment of the Wilson path along Estes Drive is designed. Then the Pleasant Street, that should say Pleasant Drive, multi-use path. Currently, right now, there's a dirt path, trees, and shrubs, and compost piles. It would be about 251 linear feet. Cost estimate, $30,000 to $39,000. And the land status is SS Park Apartments and Pleasant Drive right-of-way. There's also the Weaver community housing parcel nearby.
What does the cost estimate represent? Acquisition cleanup, gravel, or what is it?
It represents some grading, necessary actions that are taken for most construction projects, you know, silt fences and so forth. And then the actual cost of the surfacing and perhaps there might be some minimal clearing that needs to be done, too. And, of course, design.
Surfacing meaning like asphalt or concrete or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay. So that's the cost.
And that question will refer to Friends of Bowling Green.
So that cost is really doing all of that for that 251 linear feet?
Yes. The $30,000 is without a contingency, a rough ballpark estimate, and then $39,000 is with a contingency.
So part of that path belongs to the apartment complex?
Yes.
Part of it is right-of-way already?
Yes, there's a also an Owassa water line there, too. And this, of course, doesn't necessarily take into account any, land, or easement acquisition for this path, too.
So would there be...
Clearly, we're not going to buy an easement from Estes Park, that's for
right.
sure.
But I guess my question is, so we wouldn't be spending any money on easement acquisitions? Is that the assumption in that cost?
Yeah, this cost estimate has to do with construction.
Oh, okay.
It's basically assuming that it would be welcome.
Right.
As far as Estes Park is concerned.
Right.
And staff did have... an initial discussion with Estes Park Apartments management, and their initial opinion is that they are open to formalizing the Pleasant Drive path. And here is just a conceptual alignment on an aerial photo. This is also available in the agenda packet.
Can you go back a second?
Sure.
Now, what appears to be a very short path from the street to the parking lot compared to what you have drawn there? Is that very steep? Is that why you can't go that way?
Yeah, it's very steep, and there's a very steep hill. Not sure if it's all natural or not. It could have been from past compost heaps or things.
You can actually see the existing informal trail. You can kind of see it's about the same length. It starts out north of what staff's drawn there, and it winds up slightly south of it,
yeah.
Right next to that dumpster.
Uh-huh.
That's the existing path, which is
mm-hmm. okay.
And this
significantly runted out, especially you can pretty much see it on that photograph as you get close to the dumpster in particular.
Where are the compost piles coming from?
There's a few piles right up here, and then there's I don't know if it's natural or not, but there's a very steep kind of hill. It doesn't look totally natural. That is in this area right here.
Probably just bulldozed up when they built that parking lot.
We might be able to see a little bit from this next mm-hmm. photo. It's off to the right a little bit.
Okay.
But we chose that alignment partially because of the grade issues. There are some areas that may need to be graded. And the other issue with that is that there's an existing Owassa water line in the vicinity that will have to be considered when designing it and when determining the extent to which this path could be graded. Of course, it's already a dirt path, but formalizing the path would make a more convenient surface for bicyclists and wheelchair users. The other issue that came up when we were looking at this was that formalizing the path would make Estes Park Apartments eligible for the Carborough Elementary Walk Zone. So that would have the potential of eventually not having bus service to Estes Park Apartments. And in 2005-2006 school year, there are about 60 students that are served by Estes Park Apartments. So if bus service is not provided, then that's another consideration that will be considered. But it should be noted that any access alternative that formalizes a path from Estes Park Apartments to Carborough Elementary will create that walk zone eligibility.
Where would they cross Greensboro?
There's a crossing guard at Estes and Greensboro.
Yeah. Boy, I wouldn't want a 7-year-old doing that.
I think that from initial discussions with Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools transportation staff, the main things that prevent them from not assigning an area within 1.5 miles in the walk zone are a railroad crossing and crossing of a 4-lane roadway like Martin Luther King Boulevard in Chapel Hill. So in this case, we don't have that. So it would be likely that they would formalizing a path would make it eligible and make it a likely candidate for a walk zone.
Same but thing for the if we put the sidewalk on Estes too, correct?
You know, as much as I love the idea of kids walking to school, and I think they should walk to school, there are a lot of families in Estes Park that are fairly low income. And I'm wondering if not having the bus service, then the parents would that it could have a really negative impact on their work schedule and getting to work and getting the household out on time. Anyway, that's another discussion, but
it needs to be explored.
And it does definitely need to be. The unintended consequences might be significant.
Yeah. I think the implication that would be that we would never have a sidewalk on Estes there. I mean, if you're thinking that we wouldn't have.
I'm thinking about the impact on the families where people are on really tight schedules because of their jobs, and they may not want their 7-year-old walking to school alone, so they...
Well, I can tell you, I wouldn't want my 8-year-old walking to school alone. Yeah. I mean, you seldom see children that age walking alone, even if it's walking to McDougal or Carborough, unless they live across the street. And then you can look out the window and see them walk.
Anyway, it's a consideration. Yeah.
Miriam Prince has this walking school bus.
Mm-hmm.
So all the 60 kids could be holding a string.
And Sammy will walk them up to school every morning.
Okay.
And that's a discussion that could be had in the framework of the Safe Roads to School Action Plan that the town is currently working on. And I mentioned the grading and waterline issues also with the Pleasant Drive path. The two other alternatives we looked at, the Hillcrest to Estes Park Apartments connection. It's a Wassa sewer line. It's already cleared. Very short area, but it has a steep grade. A cost estimate of $23,000 to $29,000. And the land status is Estes Park Apartments and the Hillcrest Street right-of-way.
And Jeff, are you thinking that that would be combined with the Pleasant Drive connection to make the...
That's a possible.
Those would be paired. It wouldn't make sense to do this one by itself, would it?
Yeah, that's a definite synergy that could be made between those two paths.
Okay.
And whether this is a pathway or a multi-use path or a smaller path, that the steep grade makes it maybe not the best for a multi-use path, but maybe for a sidewalk. But that's another alternative.
So following on Dan's question, where this empties out into Estes Park, is that a pretty straight shot to the next path?
I believe there would be some detour.
Yeah, no, not really.
To round the building.
And this right here is the bus shelter that the Chapel Hill Transit and bus picks up right here. And here's a image of the Hillcrest to Estes Park Apartments.
Is there a fence or anything that blocks that route right now?
There's no fence right now. Okay. And it also should be noted that if this connection is made, then there still leads to the gravel drive on the gravel surface on Hillcrest, so there would still be, you know, not a paved section the whole way if this connection were made.
Whose property is that right there, Jeff?
This is the, in the foreground is the Hillcrest Street right-of-way, and then it connects to the Estes Park Apartments property. So those are the only two properties involved.
Okay. Have there been discussions with the residents on Hillcrest?
Not to my knowledge yet. So I discussed some of these issues already. And then the fourth alternative we considered was a connection from Estes Park Apartments to Crest Street, which is includes a town-owned parcel that's that has a lot of vegetation on it, an Owassa sewer line through an apartment, the back of an apartment parcel, and a very steep slope leading down from Crest Street. This is a little bit lengthier due to mitigating slope concerns, and it's a little bit more costly because of it. And this is just a conceptual alignment. This area right here, this is a very steep slope. So in order to make it accessible, there needs to be some meandering of a path right there. This is the town-owned parcel. This is the apartments and the sewer line. And here is Estes Park Apartments parking lot.
Jeff, that blue bus shelter at the top is the same one that your proposed or contemplated Crest Drive, I mean Hillcrest.
That's correct. Yeah.
Pathway would lead to right there. So the main thing about this is that this one does connect very nicely with where the Hillcrest path would come, assuming that there's interest in the Hillcrest path.
That's correct.
What's that red line that's under, like you can make it out down there and up there where the path ends?
Right around here?
Yeah.
That's the sewer line.
And where does Crest come out the other end?
Crest comes out right here.
And that goes up to North Greensboro?
To Pleasant.
To Pleasant.
To the end of Pleasant. To almost exactly the same place that the other path would.
So it's either Pleasant or this one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Yeah, this is basically fundamentally an alternative to the extended Pleasant path. Okay. But it's a bit more expensive, but if you're going to do Hillcrest, then it ties in much more.
And we discussed some of the issues with this, the steep slope leading down and up from Crest Street, and then the needing to work with the two property owners and some tree clearing is necessary.
Jeff, can you go back to the map that shows the relationship of those three paths, the mm-hmm. overview of those?
Sure,
beginning?
Sure.
So, if we're thinking about, say, bicyclists coming into town on Estes, and let's say we had the Pleasant Drive connection, I mean, normally today, if they're going that path, I mean, they would come in through the Estes Park Apartments entrance typically. Is that your sense, or did any of you?
That's what I'm doing.
We'll take note that, what's his name? Ray. Goes through there.
Okay.
That's how he does it.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm just contemplating is whether it really matters the proximity of the Hillcrest connection to the Pleasant Street if a large number of the users of the Pleasant Drive connection wouldn't be coming down Hillcrest in any case. Mm-hmm. You know, that would really only be serving the people on Hillcrest and I guess in the vicinity on North Greensboro there, where that would make more sense than walking all the way up.
Right.
And in fact, if the Hillcrest path is not, just to take that a step further, if the Hillcrest path is, you know, I mean, if we hear from people on Hillcrest that it's unwelcome notion, then there's not much to discuss, is there?
Jeff, can you show?
I mean, that is say, as far as the more expensive Crest Drive path, there's nothing, you know.
Jeff, can you show with the cursor how what Dan and Mark are referring to on what where it is on Estes? Because the way I've gone through Estes, Estes Park's apartments to Pleasant, how would that?
Sure. The if a bicyclist. Coming southwest on Estes Drive could then turn in, if they knew about the path, could then turn into the drive here and then
take it straight down there.
Take the path to Pleasant and out to
Greensboro. Yeah, that would be the most. So, Mark, I know you ride that road. You sense folks would do that?
I mean, they already do. I mean, they already do to some extent.
I mean, it would be popular.
Although, you know, I mean, in fairness, and I like this idea, so I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but in fairness, I'll point out that that route includes the assumption of crossing through private property, through a driveway that's private property.
Right.
So, I mean, Estes Park Apartments is not, you know, obligated to let us as cyclists do that. Right. Now, as a practical matter, would they really do something to stop it, or would they really perceive it as a problem? It's hard to picture, but, you know, you do run that risk that, you know, could they put up a gate, theoretically? I don't know any reason.
They've done it before.
I was thinking of a different kind of gate, but yeah.
My question would be on that, you know, if we're making some kind of agreement with them where it's presumably they're seeing it to their advantage to have the town finish their connection, that part of that deal would be that they're going to continue to provide access for the public through their parking lot.
That they're not later going to build a gate to block it. Well, I'm just saying, all I'm trying to point out is there's presumably limits to what we could expect Estes Park to necessarily put up with.
Right.
or necessarily formally agree to.
What kind of liability would they be assuming if they let a public path go through their parking lot?
I mean, they've got insurance. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Liability. I mean, I guess from the practical, I don't know the legal answer. From the practical standpoint, obviously, anytime you increase the amount of traffic, you increase the potential for some sort of accident, which increases potential plaintiffs. I don't know exactly what theory they would have.
I think it also potentially makes Estes Park Apartments a nicer place to live, mm-hmm. and, you know, more valuable property for the owner from some other points of view. So, just to point out that. There's more than one side to that,
of course.
How can this impact favorably on walkability for children to the schools, or doesn't it? If the route is coming through Pleasant, they still need to cross Greensboro, right?
Right. Yes.
I think the main effect is the walk zone eligibility, and that, you know, then there would be if. It's ultimately up to the Board of Education to determine that as a walk zone. But my initial discussions with the CHCCS staff, they said that there wouldn't seem to be any reason why it would not be a walk zone if the path were formalized.
Mm-hmm. There are positive sides to being in the walk zone to the school. If you're in the walk zone to Carver Elementary, you can't later be assigned to a different school district. That's the rule.
Absolutely.
So you can't wind up being sent off to Rashkiss after the next elementary school.
The Crest Street path, kids walk from Estes Park to school, they come down Crest Street, and then how do they get down to Greensboro Street?
If they were to take Crest Street, they could either come down to Pleasant and take Hillview to Oak Avenue, Hillview to Oak, or they could continue on Pleasant and then.
Or they can go to Shelton.
Show me Hillview to Oak. I mean, show me that on there.
So coming from Crest Street, they could come down here and take Pleasant Drive to North Greensboro, at which point...
Right, okay, okay, yeah.
It could go either way.
Okay, so either I guess what I'm saying is there's... they're still kind of winding around to kind of come back around to the school, basically.
Well, plus Pleasant Street is a blind corner. I don't know. Well, again, that would fall back to the school district, not to us. But
what I'm wondering is there's not there not going to be any, like, cut-throughs of yards. And I know this is all talk for later, but I'm just...
Well, you...
the profile is a little longer the way...
Okay, so the apartment complex, just for the record, the apartment complex that you can see is a large parcel in the center of all of this. Can you point to where I'm talking about, Jeff? That's actually Chapel Hill Public Housing. There are public sidewalks that run through that development.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that's off of
Great point.
So
yeah, actually, that's a great point.
And it is. They have a nice sidewalk that comes up to Greensboro Street. Mm-hmm. I walked it.
And that's a better place to cross.
Well, I was walking all through there this fall, as a matter of fact.
I mean, kids going to school are going to want to cut through there. Yeah.
And another thing to note is that since Estes Park is so large, you know, you might have kids living here, kids living here, kids living here.
That's true.
Would you...
And some parents probably respond to... Excuse me. But if some parents probably respond to... If bus services can be discontinued, some parents will drive their kids...
My understanding is that happens on Oak Avenue, is that a number of parents drive their kids from Oak Avenue to school.
Because you built a site.
That's right, yeah.
Would there still be as much of an issue with the slope if the crest connection would instead connect to this... larger parcel?
Oak Avenue. I think we looked at that, and I think there was there's buildings and a number of parcels owned by other property owners that made that less feasible of a connection.
As I recall, there was a private drive that came down from Hillcrest that served three or four homes, kind of in the area where the Street path is noted there.
There's a significant creek that flows back through there somewhere. I call it Shopping Cart Creek, for reasons that'll be apparent if you ever look at it.
There is a creek in this area right here. I believe I did see a shopping cart when I went on a site visit.
Then you only looked at one spot. Okay. Somebody call Harris Teeter. All right. Alderman, this does not sound like the kind of thing we're, going to make any rash decisions on. I feel like it would be appropriate to have a public hearing of some kind to hear from people who live all over that area and who need to travel through there about what they think would be the best options for us to pursue.
Okay.
Is there a motion for something?
So
well, can I say
yes, ma'am.
Something before we have a public hearing? Could you not have potentially a neighborhood meeting first before you have a public hearing? Because a public hearing doesn't lend itself to understanding and sort of contemplating the options. And that's why I'm suggesting maybe first... A community meeting first.
For the people that are directly impacted.
Yeah. For people who are directly impacted. And then have a public hearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That would be just sort of my...
And let us say, and maybe then have a public
hearing. And maybe then have a public hearing. Because it may, once you have a community meeting, there may be...
Not that much to talk about.
Right. I mean, I'm not opposed to a public hearing, but I think a community...
You're right.
That's all.
Steve, when's our deadline in terms of utilizing the sidewalk funds?
The initial deadline is November of this year. We would anticipate seeking a 3-year extension from the local government commission, and they typically would grant those, but there's no obligation. Bob Jessup, our bond counsel, is here, and if you want more detail, he'd be the person to get more detail from, but I think it's normally fairly routine. So if that's the case, then it would be November 2013 would be the absolute
end date. We have plenty of time to have the meeting Charles talking about this.
I don't believe you.
This question, but if it was till November.
Well, if it's to November, we've got bigger problems than that because all of these projects on this list basically would go away.
So. Okay. Well, so why don't we shoot for trying to put together a community meeting like in a month, let's say, something like that.
Or in the spring.
A month or so.
Is the community meeting something that would be a board meeting with the community, or something you want to handle at the staff level, like we did with the sidewalk meeting?
Yes, I think some interested aldermen may come, but no, it would be.
Does it really need to be within a month or two? Is it not?
Well, based on what you the timeline you were just inquiring about sounds important to get somewhere relatively quickly. Right.
How soon do you need to know?
Well, we have plenty of other projects to stay busy with. I think that to fit it in, with the other projects through 2011 is kind of where our other scheduling is.
Right.
We're going to try to have something in the next couple of months. I can't say next month is going to be tough to do that for some of us.
Okay. I guess my question is, if we do this neighborhood meeting this spring, is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
I guess I'll envision with the apartments, I think we're talking maybe more than one number of people here. We'll figure out the details, but maybe a couple of sessions or something availability to have the information available.
Is there a community room at Estes Park?
I'm not sure. There is a church right in the middle of this whole area. Right. I don't know whether we could use their meeting room or something.
That would be good.
They probably would let you if you asked.
I just don't know anybody. I know nothing about that church, but we'll try to find out.
And so do you all think that after the community meeting, we'd want to hear back from staff before scheduling a public hearing?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
So I'll make that motion.
Okay. I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Thank you all. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jack. Are we supposed to accept the sidewalk bond project?
Oh, yeah. What do we need to vote on, Mr. Manager?
Just to accept the report, and I think you've already given us the direction, which is to
Actually, the bands are
you
next.
On the next? Oh, there is a resolution to reauthorize the bond anticipation notes, and also I believe there's a budget amendment associated with it.
Does the board need a presentation on item B2?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion to authorize reissuance of bands? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. It's just that one resolution that we need.
The budget amendment. And the
budget amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
As for the closed session, I thought we'd have more information than we have about what to do with this thing now. So I don't have really
You're
any
not
more
prepared
information.
To
add to what the memo that I sent to you, if you have any questions and want to go into closed session to discuss it. Otherwise, we can wait.
Okay, we can wait.
Okay.
Move to return.
Seems pretty low on the alderman's list.
I have one more.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I have one last item.
Okay. Alderman Hibben O'Donnell.
Yeah, I had made a request to the board, and we were on winter break, to consider requesting of the Greenway Commission to review, make commentary and recommendations of the Greenway Inc.'s consultant's report, because the Greenway Commission did not have the time to review adequately and share with us their commentary and recommendations. And I'd like them to be able to do so. That's their task as a Greenway Commission, and given the timing of the consultant's report, the ending of the consultant's time with us, and the funding cycle, and our last meeting of the year, there wasn't adequate time for them to do so.
Well, if you feel like it's necessary and you put so much time and energy into this and you know the Greenways Commission, then I certainly would second that motion. If you,
I have a question, because I guess my feeling is, if what you're suggesting is that the Greenways Commission review the report prior to it coming back to us again, then I would agree with that. But mm-hmm. if what you're suggesting is that they review it immediately, irrespective of any pending action on our part, I wouldn't agree with that, because I feel like at the December meeting, you know, we took the action that had precipitated the quick review,
right.
And it's, and we all understand that it's going to be some unspecified, unknown time until we're ready to move forward on
right.
any other action on the plan. So, you know, I feel like it doesn't really serve us to have a lot of continued debate in the near future on the plan when there's a lot of new information that will come to bear over
right.
the next few years. So I guess I want to just confirm whether my understanding is correct.
It is, and I think it's important for the Greenway Commission to be able to have the time to, you know, adequately go through the report and make comment that's documented for us as well. So,
Mr. Manager, if I could, Mr. Manager, I mean, I think we asked for some amendments to the plan, for the consultant to make a few amendments to the plan, and then approved it. With those changes, is it anticipated that that plan is coming back before us and on some particular time frame at this point, or because I guess I don't have a problem with the Greenways Commission looking at this, but it seems to me that for the moment the issue sort of closed.
Well, I don't know that there's a particular time frame, because you know staff's concern, as it was you all's concern, was the 1A, 1B, and the timing on the funding to make sure we didn't caught up in the rescission
right.
issue.
Make sure we get the federal
and you all, I think, you know, gave, I believe, very clear direction on what to do with that. And for the other phases, you put several optional routes, which we included. And I think, mm-hmm. Jeff, we sort of got tentative buy-in from the state that they would accept the report in that fashion. So I think, to your point, Dan, I think those phases 3 and 4 are some years out.
Right.
I mean, there's no funding identified. They're really very conceptual in nature.
It's not in your 5-year capital improvements plan.
No, it's not.
But I think it helps with the community discussion to be able to have the Greenway review and make comment. I think it's on
that issue about whether where phases 3 and 4 would be and what kind of surface they would use and that type of thing, or other issues
on the report, as in as much as it looks at the alignments and the surfaces. I think it would,
yeah.
because Greenway has not had the opportunity to do that, and one of the reasons they did not is that they kept a very, you know, conscientious eye on the timing. And I think that they...
I guess I'm a little... I have some reservations about... I feel like there are some people who are in a big hurry to schedule a process by which they anticipate that this idea would be... this question would be decided.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got... I'm sure you have, too, gotten plenty of emails from people who feel that this issue is ripe for decision right at this moment.
Mm-hmm. A transportation corridor with thousands of bicycles going by every day.
I wish thousands of bicycles would use
yeah.
that. Is my dream scenario.
But
I
you
doubt
see,
it. but
it's not about the public. It's about the Greenway Commission being part of the process and having documentation.
That I don't have a problem
well,
with.
And that's what I'm asking
for. And I want
for.
Them to have their due. I just want to be clear. We said in our resolution on December 8th about this issue that we were leaving all three alignments on the table, and that we would ask for one day the staff to give us some comment about a procedure for accepting public input. Mm-hmm. And it's come to my attention, apparently some people left that December meeting thinking that that meant that there was going to be a meeting in like January or February of this year or something like that, at which we would have some grand showdown over the issue. Right. And I'm not going to be mayor when this thing is built or even when it's contracted for. It's more than 5 years out. I think people are trying to rush into a decision about the issue when that part of the future of this town is really quite hazy.
Let me clarify. When you say, you know, that's what people want, I'm talking about the Greenway Commission. I'm not talking about the public.
But
are Greenway Commission meetings not open to the public?
They are.
And wouldn't all those people want to go to that meeting and have their say and then want to come to us and advocate to us,
that may
whether
be.
It's on our agenda or not?
Yeah, but
my point is about having the Greenway Commission be able to weigh in on something that they had been working on that they didn't get to do, which is more procedural.
There's no context for them to weigh in. And what I'm saying is I agree with you, but I think it should happen at the time when there's a context. In other words, when we're ready to take some action or to look at some further aspect of the plan, that's when it makes sense for us to hear. I mean, because like what Mark's saying, so he hears from the Greenways Commission, you know, say in June, and then 5 years from now he's not mayor anymore, and some other mayor hasn't heard from the Greenways Commission, you know, and has to hear from a new Greenways Commission. And really, so this whole thing you're proposing in terms of its actual impact on policy, you know, it's hard to see that it's not more than just an exercise. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to press.
Well, and I'd like to speak, I think, in favor of what Randy's recommending. If for no other reason, then, I mean, these folks have worked on, with Greenways Inc. and on this plan for months and months and months. They have a lot of knowledge about the report, and they had a lot of kind of input into the report. And even if it's simply for them to digest it, come up with recommendations, their observations, their thoughts, it's presented to us in a hard format. And years from now, when it's revisited, the Greenways Commission at that time and the board at that time, you know, just like we look at old recommendations or old thoughts, just be part of the record. I mean, they certainly are as knowledgeable as anyone right now about what's been going on, and probably really want to talk it out and have it documented. And I don't know where that would hurt. It doesn't need to take up any of our time other than just to get a report and have it be part of the record.
Right. That's my point.
I agree. I think that's the key to capture and have that institutional memory. And I also think, though, it's important to clarify, because I do think there's been confusion as to what the time frame for this is. And I think that hopefully tonight at this meeting, that's been clarified a bit, that the funding for those two phases is way far ahead. But I do think that it would be important to capture, if it is going to be built in 5 years, people on the commission won't be around them in 5 years. We should capture what they've learned about it, and so that the future planners will know where we came from.
And the consultant's report does not reflect the work of the Greenways Commission or their views. And so I think having the Greenway Commission, review and make comment, it complements the report and gives us a clear picture of what the advisory board, you know, view is. Joel, you were going to say something. I want to hear
What I was going to say is I don't have a problem with them doing it. I think, though, that everybody needs to understand what the expectations are. And I think people have been confused thinking that we have a pot of money that somehow we're going to cut a contract and George and his staff are going to be supervising the Greenway. I think that is the expectation, when the truth of the matter is we don't have that kind of money.
Right.
And I don't think people... Maybe we were wrong.
I don't know where we would get it either.
Right, and maybe we should have said it, and maybe if the media is here, they could repeat it. We don't have that kind of money to develop the Greenway plan as it is now. I mean, that is as clear
Exactly.
Nothing more than phases one and two is
right.
Imminently going to happen, and right. That's only imminent in a governmental sense.
Right. True that.
Well, sounds like we're all clear, so I'll call the question.
All right. Motion is to refer this matter pursuant to the text here. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The matter passes unanimously.
Move we adjourn.
With gusto.
And
moved
and
seconded.
All
those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The matter passes unanimously. Thanks very much, y'all.